This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome to the one talk show in America that helps you make better money moves, the Ray Lucia program. Phone lines are always open for Beeswax here. Give us a buzz. 844-RAY-SHOW. If you want to jump on board, the call is free. And the advice, priceless. 844-729-7469. Emails at raylucia.com, raylucia.com. Johnny Dean in the house. Johnny, got a bunch of stuff on the agenda today.
I'm excited because part of it has to do with guaranteed income. And as I get older and as I get closer to retirement, 10 years at least, but 10 years, you know, that seems close to me. As I get closer, these guarantees start to really play into my own
mind. Well, you've always, as long as I've known you, which is a long time, you've always been on the conservative side.
On the
investing
side.
Just about everything you do,
I have. And you've had to straighten me out, especially when I was younger, as you don't want to be that conservative, and that was fine. But it was more in the line of, I like to know what's the worst case scenario. All right, I want to know what's the bottom line. What's the lead? What can I be guaranteed? That's where I like to start.
You know, so, when I was in the biz, I would love clients like you because obviously it's a lot easier to deal from I'm a conservative investor and my rates of return are not as critical as the end result.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, can I live on X amount of dollars of income for the rest of my life?
I don't want to gamble.
That's an easier problem to solve than I want to earn more than Joe down at the club.
Right, exactly. Because I got things that I want to do. I want to be able to show my statement at the end of the year and say,
To keep up with Joe. Well, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
There's been a game changer in Alzheimer's disease that we have to talk about. That's coming up in just a bit. Along the lines of what you're discussing, I found this quite interesting. Which annuity provides the most retirement income?
Oh, I love it.
The answer is it depends, by the way. But there's so many advisors out there that get fixated on one product versus the other product, or this one's good or this one's bad.
Yeah.
There's actually been some research done on that. But I start today with this one. Happiness is linked to a longer life. Sit back, folks. Relax. It is the Ray Revolution.
The Ray-volution. There it is. Okay. I didn't hear anything. I thought maybe I better say something.
By the way, guys, you can come in a lot sooner than that.
It's spring training. We're going to give them a week,
indeed.
Right?
Indeed. they just cut it off like that,
that's
too.
That's it, sure, yeah.
They want to make sure we're not going to have to pay the BMI fee.
I'm telling you, because it'll get cut off on YouTube or whatever.
Older people are up to 35% less likely to die if they report feeling happy. This according to a study.
Is that how they worded it?
That's study says.
Because they're 100% likely to die. It's just you mean sooner.
Yes.
Yes. That just seemed oddly worded to me. Hey,
well, that goes
I'm less
with
likely
the other,
to die. Yeah. As far as I know, we're all the 100% chance.
Absence,
yes, I know what
I
you
got
mean.
It. Yeah. Absence of happiness may be more important than presence of negative emotions, and regions of the brain involved in happiness are also involved in blood vessel function.
Oh, absolutely.
I bring this up because you were just talking about how you feel about your portfolio and guarantees in your portfolio. You're a conservative investor. And the truth is, if you satisfy this need for filling the longevity gap, if you will, you are likely to live longer anyway because you'll be happier.
That's exactly it. If I don't have to sit there and get up at 2 o'clock in the morning every single morning and think, okay, where am I now? How much am I? What if I live a long time? But the problem is, of course, that if you start worrying about it, as you're saying, that can tend to shorten your life.
Mess you
it's
up.
It's a self-fulfilling whatever.
Well, there's also another problem, and that is that most of us are married, and it's not just our life expectancy that we have to be concerned about. We certainly have to think about, you know, Jeannie and Chris, because they're likely to outlive us.
Statistically, they are. You and me, personally.
Yes. Here's what it said, and then we'll move on. The participants who were between the ages of 52 and 79 when the study began were divided into three groups according to how happy and positive they felt. Although the groups differed slightly on some measures, such as age, wealth, and smoking, they were comparable in terms of ethnic makeup, education, employment status, and overall health. 5 years later, 7% of people in the least happy group had died, compared with just 4% in the happiest group and 5% in the middle group. When the researchers controlled for age, depression, chronic disease, health behaviors such as alcohol and so forth, and socioeconomic factors, they found that the happiest and medium happy people were 35% and 20% less likely to have died respectively than their gloomier counterparts. What does that tell you, John?
Well, it tells you that happiness can extend your life. Now, happiness, you know, I mean, there are just some people whose lot in life does not give them the happiness. I mean, no matter where they look, they're not going to find it.
Well, that's true. Obviously, we've found from research that single people are less happy than married people. People that have friend relationships are happier than those that have no friends. Those of us that go to church regularly are happy. Just
looking
kidding.
At me.
I've seen you across the pews in church from time
to
time.
Well, you've seen my wife there, and you've seen me as her chauffeur, is what that is. No, sure. I mean, they say we're social animals. That's what they like to say. I'm not all that social, quite frankly, but I know what they mean. I know what they mean. You don't want to be isolated.
I'm not social at all. It's surprising most people when I say that. But I'm uncomfortable. I'm really uncomfortable in crowds. I'm not
too.
Uncomfortable standing on stage in front of a crowd.
No, but when you're in the middle of them and
I don't like the mix and mingle. My wife is fantastic at that.
Yeah.
She can hold conversations with anybody.
That's the person you want to stay with, because let them do all the heavy lifting.
That's why she's on my arm 24/7,
well,
baby.
My wife and I are both bad at that. This is why we have isolated ourselves. We're perfectly fine with ourselves in our little cocoon.
Well, go to church on Sunday and you can come over and say hi to me, and I'll introduce you to some of the folks around.
I'll stand to the back and you can talk to my wife. How's that?
Johnny Dean, okay. This also, Justin, what type of retirement spender will you be? Interestingly, they've studied this as well. They break down this way. Foodies, 39% are foodies. They spend most of their money on food. Okay.
All right. I could see that.
Homebodies, which you can understand what those are, as well as globetrotters, those that travel around.
Travel, yeah.
29% are homebodies. 5% are globetrotters. Only 4%, this surprised me, only 4% are healthcare spenders. And the reason I bring that up is because we talk about healthcare so much on this program and how important it is, but I don't want to overemphasize its level of importance either, because 4% of households for this group are the healthcare spenders, and it reflects 28% of their income. So how do you mitigate that risk? Because nobody can spend 28% of their income on healthcare and be happy because they've got a big portfolio. Just, you can't eat and drive your car and do stuff and spend 30% of your money on healthcare.
Well, yeah, you're going to be miserable. I mean, but you know, some have no choice, obviously, but that's just where the way it
is. Well, this is why, if we can just appeal to the younger folk out there for just a second, because we talk to retirees all the time, and sometimes it's just too freaking late to take care of that problem. But young people have so many advantages, because the cost to insure stuff like that, it's dirt nothing when you're 35 or 45 years old. When you're 75 or 80 years old, it may be so expensive you can't afford it, or you probably can't qualify for it, right?
Sure.
So we'll talk more about that as the show progresses. But to set up tease, if you will, where we're going next, you asked me before the show, well, tell people what you asked me about.
Well, it was asked of me, and it had to do with guaranteed lifetime income. It's another piece that I'm writing here, and so it was already on my mind. And the question had to do with how much of a guarantee should I have? How much guaranteed lifetime income do I need? And it ultimately came down to, let's pretend I need $10,000 a year, all right? I need that guaranteed because I've got Social Security, I have a pension, something. I'm 10 grand short. My portfolio needs to provide me 10 grand a year. I could live 40 years, I could live to be 105. I don't want to worry about it. So why wouldn't I just take, let's say I have 200,000 in my portfolio, just for easy math. I need 10 grand a year out of that. Let's say the insurance company says you can get 10 grand a year out of this on an annuity, annuity. Well, why not just hand the insurance company the entire 200 grand, because that's my savings, and let them just send me a check every month and I don't have to worry about it. The problem, they said, was I've heard you shouldn't put the 100% of your money into anything.
Well, I think there's some truth to everything that you've heard. And when we come back from the break,
let's tackle it.
How's that?
You give me the two sides of it.
All right, we'll do. Also, which annuity will provide the most retirement income? That'll be interesting, too. Stick around. Hi, everybody.
Wait for it.
Hi, everybody.
There we go.
I'm Archie Bell with the Drells.
Hey, welcome back. It's Rue Lucia and the Drells.
He says he's Archie Bell and the Drell.
Yeah,
I don't know how you could be both.
Well, you know,
I think the law says you can either be Archie Bell or a
Drell,
but you can't be both.
Just like Gladys Knight.
Yeah, you can be Gladys Knight,
or
you can be
a Pip.
The only thing about being a Pip is you have very little chance of advancement to the Gladys Knight portion of it.
By the way, I thought she sang the national anthem very, very well the other day.
I tuned in too late. I missed it.
Oh, yeah, she did it again.
Yeah?
You know, because she did it at the Super Bowl. Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
weeks ago, whatever that was.
The Super Bowl? Yes, I do remember that. That was quite some time ago. But I tuned in late.
So anyway, I guess she's getting all kinds of gig offers now for doing the national anthem. I thought she did a great job.
Oh, well, but did she do as well as Whitney way back in
91? Nobody will ever
do as well as
Whitney Houston, except for maybe Roseanne. No, I don't
we won't get into that.
Yeah.
All right, so guaranteed income.
Yes,
now
indeed.
I set this up before. If you want to go into this now, is that
do that's fine.
Okay.
I've got all kinds of time, John.
Okay, all right. I'll reset. Get out of here. I'll reset. Somebody had asked me, do I need I need guaranteed income? Let's pretend I need $10,000 a year. I got $200,000 sitting as my, that's my whole nest egg. All right, that's all I got. I want $10,000 a year, which is about a 5% rate of withdrawal if I've done my math properly.
Yep.
That's okay, but I'm afraid I'm going to run out because I'm 65 years old. I could live to be 105. All my whole family live forever. So my thought was, this person told me, take this $200,000 and just hand it right over to the insurance company. Let them, provide me with this 10 grand. They will guarantee it. It's a good, big insurance company. They will guarantee it. And I don't have to worry about this. I can get $10,000 a year for the rest of my life. Why wouldn't I do that? Well, the reason I wouldn't do that is because I was told by more than one source that I shouldn't put 100% of my money into anything, no matter what.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this for
a second.
Well,
everybody's right. I mean, obviously you want to be diversified to a certain extent, but you're asking for somewhat of a tall order too. Getting, what did you say you wanted, $10,000 a year?
$10,000 a year guaranteed.
Yeah, so to get $10,000 per year, that's a 5% distribution rate
out of 200 grand.
And so are you factoring inflation into that?
Well, I mean, I hadn't. I was told that.
Well, because here's the problem. Obviously, $10,000 today, 20 years from now, if there's 3% inflation, I got to do this again. I had fat finger. I do that all the time, right? 20 years, 3%. That's tantamount to $5,537 today. So you're going to cut your income in half over the next 20 years. So that would be one reason not to acquire a fixed life annuity. Now, are you telling me that you're retired today, or when you retire, you're going to want that $10,000 extra?
Let's say when I retire. Let's say somebody's my age and they got 10 years.
Yeah, okay. So I would first off make sure I address a couple of things. Number one is, are you talking about you or are you talking about a joint life annuity? Because obviously you're going to get less if there's two of you in the deal than if there's just you, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's say joint because it could be me or my spouse living
long. All of a sudden you probably cut that 5% down, so it's less likely that you're going to be able to do it. Next, if you want it inflation adjusted, once again, you're going to take a bit of a hit, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you're lucky to get 4% out of a lifetime income annuity if you're getting an inflation adjustment on top of it. Mm. Next, we have to address whether or not that's all your money. And what if some emergency, because you're going to give up liquidity.
It is all my money.
Yeah. See, I can't do that.
It's 100%.
Now, could I do half of it? Yes. In fact, I remember from years ago, I saw a Morningstar Ibbotson study that said individuals that annuitize 50% of their retirement wealth have something like a 97% degree of certainty that a 4% distribution will last them forever, mm-hmm. meaning 30 years back then. And if you didn't annuitize at all, you had like a 77% chance of making it. You're just a stock and bond.
If you didn't do
any
guaranteed income.
So the way that I've always addressed this, and I'm not one that would ever recommend you put 100% in any one asset class like an annuity. But studies have shown somewhere between 20% and 50% is a pretty decent number. I've seen the FRC study at 30%. I've seen other studies at higher, other studies at lower. Let's just make an assumption. Let's assume you took 25% of your $200,000 and put it into some kind of a life annuity. I wouldn't do joint, by the way. I wouldn't do a joint life annuity because hopefully you'll have life insurance that you don't cancel mm-hmm. that'll take care of your spouse if you die early.
Okay.
Which you probably will.
A form of pension maximization.
Exactly yes. Right. Now, next, I'd want to also get to that 50% for annuitized income. I'd want to find some alternative strategy. Maybe it's income producing real estate or whatever. Now, again, this kicks the risk up a little bit, but if you're judicious, you can probably find some low leveraged real estates or some debt instruments that would also give you maybe a 5 or a 6% yield. So now you've got a good 50 to 60% of your income need covered. Well, now if I need $4,000 more, if I got $6,000 from the two of those.
So wait, so half of it is from a guaranteed
right.
annuity
some guaranteed source.
That's for sure. The other half of that is some
Just
form of alternative.
Real estate. Call it
not,
real estate.
Not guaranteed necessarily, but it's there.
Right. So if I needed $4,000 a year left, I could take, say, $40,000 and put that in a, I don't know, laddered CDs, bond, intermediate term and short term bonds. Maybe I can get 3-4%. So $40,000 would last you about 15 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we've at least taken you from, say, 65 to 80. Where are you today? Well, the other thing that I would ask is, where are you with respect to a home? Do you own a home?
Yes.
Will it be paid off by the time you're 80?
Oh, boy. Let's say maybe by the time I'm 90. Let's say I refinanced at age 60 or something. And
okay.
I got a 30-year loan.
But if you refinance, that means you've got a payment that you have to make.
Yes.
So we can always do a reverse mortgage and eliminate that payment.
Ah.
If you eliminate that payment, now we don't have to worry so much about your income stream.
Takes a lot of pressure off.
If the house is paid for, we also have a reverse mortgage where we can tap into money and do some kind of life extending. I mean, if you're going to live till you're 110, you can always fund it with your reverse mortgage. So I'm feeling more comfortable now if I'm
too.
You.
I am too.
About not taking all my eggs and putting them in one basket. So let's summarize. We haven't talked about long-term health care.
No.
The reverse mortgage is important there as well, unless today you satisfy that with some kind of a long-term care policy.
Mm-hmm.
You get the house paid off, you've got a reverse mortgage. You annuitize a percentage, 25 to 30%, say. You invest in an alternative strategy, have enough money to get you through the first 10, 15 years. And then in this example, you'd have about $60,000 left in equities. That's where you get your growth. That's where you get your inflation protection. How's that?
Love it. Out of time.
Hey, welcome back, folks. It is the Ray Lucia Show. Glad to have you on board. 844-RAY-SHOW. The number email's coming up in just a bit. RayLucia.com. RayLucia.com. There's no H in Lucia, John.
Yes, yeah, so if you have one, get the H out of there.
Absolutely.
You were doing some math. It looked like something that maybe I had an interest in.
While we were talking about to the latrine or the WC or whatever you call it nowadays.
The WC. The loo, yes, yes.
I looked up an immediate annuity quote for a 65-year-old.
What a guy! And I'm not even. I'm still 10 years away.
No,
from
I know that.
Yeah.
But I will say this. For someone like you, a super conservative dude, I would not put 100% of my money into any kind of an annuity. But if you have a life insurance policy, right?
Oh, sure.
Probably would be better if you could permanentize it if it's term right now.
It has another 10 years to go.
Yeah, I would talk to your insurance agent about permanentizing your insurance policy to take care of Chris in the event you get hit by that Mack truck.
Yeah.
All right? Now you can buy at age 65 an immediate annuity. In fact, you could buy a deferred annuity today that will grow to a number that guarantees you an amount that you're looking for at age 65. But for a 65-year-old, I wrote it down, $100,000 SPIA, single premium immediate annuity, pays out $7,740.
At age 65, for my life only.
Yeah, let's say you're 65 today.
Yeah.
And we just took 50% of your money. Remember the Ibbotson, I believe it was the Ibbotson study said, if you annuitized 50% of your income, you had a high degree of certainty that you would survive. Your money would survive.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to survive.
No, ultimately we're all doomed.
Right.
But I put 100,000 of my 200 in, you're saying 100 of my 200, I get now $7,700 a year at age 65.
Right. And I would be comfortable. You might not be. I'd be comfortable putting the rest of it in the equity markets.
The other 100,000.
Yes. And here's why.
Whoa.
What's the dividend yield on the Standard & Poor's 500 right now?
2-3 somewhere.
2.5, call it.
Yeah.
2.5%. What's 2.5% of 100,000?
Well, that'd be $2,200 or $2,500.
Very good.
I said 2.2.
There should be no math. How's that thing go? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there'd be no math. I was taking out the tip.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So
that's pretty good tip.
Yeah.
7,740 is the SPIA. Call it 2,500 is the dividend yield.
Well, I'm over 10.
There, you're over 10,000 bucks.
And I got my income to cover.
Plus, the stock market does tend to do well even in inflationary environments. So if you're locked in for the next 10 years, even if the market goes down, the dividends don't typically go down, right? Maybe
not
on a couple of companies.
Not on the broad market.
Not on the broad market. So let's go out, 10 years from now. Maybe the stock market did 5-6% because you're giving up the dividends, right? So let's see if it does 6%. So your 100,000 bucks in 10 years.
This is without dividends.
Without dividends, could be worth like $180,000.
After 10
right?
years.
Oh. The dividend yield then is like $4,000 or $5,000 a year.
And I haven't touched this. I've just let
you
it rot. I didn't add to it. I didn't take anything out of it.
You only touched the dividends.
Right. Yes, of course.
You haven't sold a share of your equities.
I'm using the dividends to live off of.
Again, this is not a recommendation.
No, no.
I'm just doing this as an example for John because remember, John started out where he was so conservative that he was told he might put all of his money into an annuity,
right.
And I took some issue with that.
Well, obviously, we're making this scenario up. I mean, this is a hypothetical scenario.
It is hypothetical.
Yes. So now I've taken a little bit of risk that I didn't think I'd have to take.
Right. Which brings me to the next point. So we're cool with that?
Yeah.
Keep your life insurance policy. Get your house
paid for. Well, permanentize it, you said.
Permanentize
it. Which a lot of people, I don't think, know you can do, by the way.
Yes.
You have a term policy. You can, in many instances, make it permanent.
Yes.
You talk to your insurance.
You can either convert the existing policy or policies have gotten so competitive lately.
Oh, yeah.
Do some shopping, please. And not just on the 800 lines and all that stuff. Talk to a real financial planner or a real financial advisor that does this stuff. But that brings me to this. Melanie Waddell wrote last fall, which annuity provides the most retirement income? And even I was surprised when I read this.
They say which annuity? What does that mean?
Well, there are single premium immediate annuities, which we've been talking about. There are DIAs, deferred income annuities. There are variable annuities. Mm-hmm. There are fixed indexed annuities. Here's what they found. And this is a study researched by CanEx, C-A-N-N-E-X. The study found that SPIAs provide the highest income guarantee for those planning on drawing immediate income.
Which I think you would expect. I'm handing my money. Right. You're talking about an annuitized contract.
Uh-huh.
Here. I give up the rights to my money in exchange for an immediate payment
right.
for the rest of my life, however long I live. They're going to give me the highest amount that they
Exactamundo. But remember, we were talking about you being age 65 today, but you're not.
No, I'm 55.
So now they go on. For a couple of different ages, the study found that a variable annuity with guaranteed income may generate the highest potential annual payments.
Whoa.
So now, if you have different ages, a variable annuity, those are the ones that nobody likes because they're expensive.
Fees.
Well, again, I'm not going to dispute CanEx. They're a big company. They know what they're doing. For an individual looking to start drawing down money in 5 or 10 years, the research shows a fixed indexed annuity provides a greater guaranteed stream of income than either a deferred income annuity or a variable annuity. So now, John, rather, you said you're 10 years away, you should be looking at a fixed indexed annuity. Again, I'm not making this stuff up. This is right out of the research. For women, the differential between a fixed indexed annuity and a deferred income annuity is even greater because DIA benefit payments are lower based on longevity expectations. Obviously, women live longer, so the fixed index annuity makes sense. So the longer and the delay in taking the income, the greater the benefit for women in choosing a fixed indexed annuity versus a deferred income annuity.
The higher the payout,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
You've got a year less to live, presumably. According to the insurance company's tables, they're going to pay you the longer you wait.
And so they have an example. Based on a $100,000 premium investment in a deferred income annuity at 65 years old, a woman of average projected longevity would receive, after 10 years deferral, around $11,700 in annual income versus approximately $12,900 for a man. By contrast, a fixed index annuity could generate as much as $14,313 of annual income, regardless of gender.
Now, you're still deferring this, are you not?
10 years deferral.
For both.
You're putting $100,000 in, and 10 years from now, if you're a female, you get $11,700 out if it's a DIA versus $14,313 if it's a fixed index.
Now, can you take a moment and explain the difference? I think people say, well, wait a minute. They're both deferred income annuities, are they not? I mean, I'm putting, one's a fixed index annuity, but I'm still deferring it for 10 years.
Yes.
What's the difference between the two?
The difference is if you buy a SPIA or a DIA, a deferred income annuity, you've given up liquidity for the most part. There are some that give you some liquidity, but then your returns go down.
10%.
So, well, no. Those aren't, the 10% would be the fixed index.
Oh, okay. All right.
So the deferred income annuity would be less flexible and offer less money. Now, remember, go back a couple of paragraphs. A deferred income annuity or a SPIA immediate annuity actually would make more sense because the deferred income annuity turns into a SPIA 10 years later. The fixed index annuity calculates interest based on how well the performance of an index does. That's why they call it an index annuity. And there's all kinds of nuances going on there. But the key is in what they guarantee you each year. And many of them today guarantee you not only an increase, but the increase and the increase in income could also continue as long as you defer it. So these are really fascinating and interesting products. They require a guru that focuses on that, which I don't do anymore, but I got peeps that do.
The fixed index annuities are based obviously on an index. That's where the ultimate, you know, payment is going to come from, based on the movement of an index. The SPIAs, deferred income annuities, are based on what?
Based on the a hurdle rate or portfolio rate of an insurance company.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with anything. And what I guess what they're saying is the reason they may be able to offer more is because they are following an index of some kind.
Well, they're really not, kind of.
I mean, the fixed well, index annuity, I'm saying.
Well, what they're doing is they're buying options
on an
index.
Yes.
And they might take 95% of the money and just buy a fixed bond and take 5% and buy options. And if the market goes up, they exercise the option. They get a little extra income.
Okay.
And that, because the market goes up three quarters of the time, that works about three quarters of the time. Johnny, there you have it.
Great stuff.
All right, we'll take
more time.
Come back with your emails. Don't go away. It's the Ray Lucia Show. We're taking care of business with a D here on the Ray Lucia Show.
TCB, and I think they've shortened it now.
They have, yeah.
They've shortened it TCB, which actually I think Aretha shortened it away all those years ago.
Yeah, she said TCB?
Yeah, yeah. TCB
is
Sock It to Me.
Yeah,
yes.
In respect.
Yeah.
The song.
You
have to play respect. Hey, child, TCB.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Sock It to Me. Right.
I
Nobody knew
it.
What that meant, but there you go.
I know it now. Before we get to the emails, about 4 years ago, the Society of Actuaries warned its clients who manage old-fashioned defined benefit pension plans that they could have pensioners who lived until they are as old as 120. Living to 100 is not pure fantasy anymore, folks. When the Society of Actuaries, they're going to these major corporations that have defined benefit plans and saying, you need to make sure that you're reserving enough money in the unlikely or maybe not so unlikely event that some of your employees are going to outlive the actuarial life expectancies that we've been giving you. It's pretty interesting stuff, and it fits right into what we were talking about. That brings me to the game changer that I brought up earlier, and this is huge. And this is as of October, all right? So this is fresh out of the box. Scientists reveal groundbreaking plan to target cause of Alzheimer's disease. Wow. Academics at the University of Cambridge and at Lund University in Sweden have devised the first strategy to go after the cause of the devastating disease, leading to hope that new drugs could be developed to treat dementia. Professor Michele Vendruscolo.
Does it have the little line going through the O?
No.
And then,
no?
Okay.
No.
All right.
I don't know if that is of Italian descent or Hispanic.
Or
I know
Swedish.
My Spanish teacher told me that I spoke Spanish with an Italian accent.
Hey,
but anyway, we'll pretend that he's my peeps.
Right.
He's one of the scientists who led the research, hailed as a world first, said, quote, this is the first time that a systematic method to go after the pathogens, the cause of Alzheimer's disease, has been proposed. Until very recently, scientists couldn't agree on what the cause was, so we didn't have a target. As the pathogens have now been identified as small clumps of proteins known as oligomers, all these words, we've been able to develop a strategy to aim drugs at these toxic particles. This is enormous. This is a huge, huge game. Now, maybe 10 years from now is when they'll actually come up with a potential solution, but that's 10 years from now, and
right.
You're still a young man. I'm
a
little older.
Yeah, you're a little older, but you're still young. You know, you're still kicking.
Alzheimer's is the number one killer in Great Britain, UK.
Is that right?
Yep. Dementia costs, maybe I misquoted. Dementia costs the health and social care sector more than cancer and heart disease combined and receives a disproportionately low amount of research investment. So it's number one.
Okay, but it costs us here too. Absolutely. Because a lot of times you're healthy otherwise. You're going to live another 6-7 years, but you need constant care.
Yeah,
that's expensive.
Absolutely right. So stay tuned. We'll talk more about this whole subject of longevity planning. If you haven't done it, do it. Okay, fellas, hit it. Let's get into the email segment.
There we go. We're not going to wait. We're going to get right to it. Hank with a question, who says hello, by the way.
Hello.
I am treated as a limited partner by my employer, and I receive Schedule K-1 every year. I've maximized my retirement contribution by using a 401k, 401k match, and profit sharing, $55,000 annual limit. That's part of the profit sharing. My question is, can I go the backdoor Roth IRA route to put aside an additional $5,500 annually for my retirement? It's a little more than that now. If not, then is there any other way to make additional savings for retirement? So he's doing this whole 401k thing with the profit sharing. He wants to know, can he do a backdoor Roth IRA to do an additional, now it's $6,000.
Yeah, $6,000 plus another grand for catch-up, right?
Yeah.
So here's the deal. First off, you said your employer is giving you a K-1. That doesn't jibe. Your employer, you're an owner if you're getting a K-1 distribution. Did he say from an LLC or an S-Corp?
Limited partner. He's treated as a limited partner by an employer. Yeah.
Okay, so I don't understand that. I don't understand how an employer would just pay you by K-1 if you're not an owner. So double check that, because somebody could be running askance of the law, because you're getting a distribution as opposed to a paycheck requiring withholding like FICA and all that. Now, having said all of that, the answer to your question is yes, you can do a backdoor Roth IRA as long as you qualify for a Roth, or excuse me, for any IRA. Now, I didn't hear that he was doing this was over and above an IRA that he's already funding. He didn't say that, did he?
Doesn't say that. He only said 401k. He wants to get money into a Roth. My suspicion is he makes too much money to contribute directly, so he's going to have to put money into a non-deductible Roth, a non-deductible IRA, traditional IRA, which anybody can do.
Yeah.
And then do the
backdoor. The answer is yes. It's a great strategy. It's a brilliant strategy, and I would highly recommend that you do it. Remember, if you make more than a couple hundred thousand bucks, to be simple here, you can't put money into a Roth directly. But anybody, Bill Gates, as long as he has earned income, can. He may not.
He may not. Let's switch. Let's make it younger. Let's make it Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay.
Let's go to the younger crowd now.
If Zuckerberg has a paycheck that's not just, you know, cashing in sales of stock, which he probably has done quite a bit of lately.
He gets a W-2. Right. Yeah.
If he gets a W-2 and he has earned income, he can put that money in. He can't do the extra $1,000 makeup because he's too young, but he can put the $6,000 away into a non-deductible IRA and then convert the non-deductible IRA to a Roth. Now, we always got to talk about the complications here.
Oh, yeah.
Because that sounds simple on paper, but if, what's this dude's name?
This was Hank.
Hank, if you have other IRAs, a rollover from a prior company pension or 401k plan, a simple, a SEP, or anything like that, then we've got a bit of an issue, because you've got to prorate the non-deductible money or the post-tax basis over the total amount to determine what percentage you would get on the conversion. So the easy math, and I've done this a lot because it's simple. You got $100,000 in all of your IRAs combined, rollovers, and $10,000 of it's post-tax, and you want to convert the $10,000, sorry, only $1,000 of it's tax-free, the other $9,000's taxable. Johnny, we're out of time. You did a wonderful job today.
As did you, my man.
Folks, you did too. Go out and make it a great day, will you? God bless. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions online at raylucia.com.